I find that tones on other instruments confuse the color. I always seem to think that F is an F sharp, but I can do it well on my own instrument.
With universal color discrimination still unripe, then of course we are going to be a bit confused by the timbre of the new instrument. You can do it well on your instrument, but then that new timbre comes in and it creates an aural illusion. It's just like with visual colors. If you put red next to blue, then it gives a certain feeling with the blue. But if you put yellow next to blue, the blue seems to be a little bit different, even though it's the same blue. Now, it's similar here. All the colors of the tones are always the same. They don't change. But when you put them next to, or shall we say, inside of different timbres, then those colors just somehow seem different. It's an aural illusion, sort of like an optical illusion. So that's just the right experience. If you just keep practicing the exercises, continue to develop your ear, then your ear will not be confused by the timbre at all. This is what universal color discrimination is. In the handbook, you notice that we said it's universal color discrimination is refined color discrimination, which is the previous level before we get to universal color discrimination, and refined timbre discrimination. And when you have both of those refinements, then that means that the ear is open enough to be able to hear it in any sound. So that sounds good too.
Wouldn't it be better to use a pure sine wave to practice on? Because then there wouldn't be any timbre at all to confuse you. Then you could hear just the color, and you'd automatically have universal color discrimination on any instrument.
Now, in theory, that sounds correct, but in practice, it doesn't work out that way. People ask this a lot at the seminar. When they find out that timbre is what covers up the pitch color in all the other instruments that are foreign, they say, well, why don't we take a synthesizer and have a pure sine wave, no timbre at all, and then all we have is the pure color. And then once we learn all the pure colors, it will be very easy to hear them on any instrument. You'd automatically have universal color discrimination. Now, it doesn't work for two reasons. Number one, if you did learn all your colors on that sine wave, then any timbre would cover it up. As soon as you have a new timbre on any instrument, you wouldn't be able to hear into there. So it's not very practical. What we want is we want to be able to hear the foreign instrument and at the same time be able to dive in and hear the color. We want a practical ability. Now, if you just have the raw color and you can't hear it in any kind of a timbre, then that's not very practical. But there's a second consideration here. A pure sine wave, even though it doesn't have any timbre, it sounds like it has a timbre. If you have a tuning fork, now technically that's not really supposed to have any timbre, but to the ear, it sounds like a different kind of an instrument. And if it sounds like a different instrument, then it's an illusion, but the ear hears it as a different timbre. So at first, you may not hear the color even on the pure sine wave. You may listen to tuning forks and you may not hear the colors. You may hear the colors better on your own instrument. Even if there is no timbre, we have to be comfortable with a surface value of hearing in order for the ear to feel comfortable with realizing this deeper color perception. So it's better to just stick with real instruments and synthesizers, things like that, and learn a practical hearing where we can listen to any sound, any pitch, and universally hear those colors in there.
What if your instrument doesn't have the number of octaves the piano does? Is it necessary for me to learn the entire piano keyboard?
It all depends on what you want to do. I think if you're a guitarist, it's very good if you can identify any tone that's played on your guitar, whether it's a high tone or a low tone. If you're a pianist, I think it's good if you can identify any tone on the piano. But see, on the piano, these are so low down here that you have to really maneuver quite well, even if you have perfect pitch, in order to get them. The top ones are tricky at first, but the thing is, you can learn them. I think it's good to learn all of them up there. If you're an instrumentalist and piano is not your instrument, You might not have time. You might not want to take the time to learn every little note on the piano. It's not necessary if you don't want to. The most important thing with developing perfect pitch is that we gain this color perception. The octaves are just something extra. So if you want to leave that out, that's fine. The important thing is that we gain the color discrimination on our own instrument and that we can hear with that color discrimination on any instrument. We universalize it. This is the important thing.
I've already developed color discrimination and am now working on my universal color discrimination. But it's confusing because sometimes when I listen to tones, I hear that they are in between correct pitches, and I can't figure out if they are sharp or flat.
Welcome to the real musical world. This is good. When you have developed your color discrimination and now you're starting to listen to other instruments, then we do find out very quickly that there is a range of what a pitch is. Oftentimes, I'll be listening to the radio. I can't tell you if it's F major or F sharp major. It's absolutely smack right in the middle. Sometimes it's just a little sharp or a little flat, and then you can kind of round it off to the nearest one. But sometimes it's right smack in the middle, and you can't really tell what key it was intended to be in. You just have to say it's right in between. This is just the way the real musical world operates. So if you're having an experience that you're starting to be able to hear the pitch colors on the other instruments, and then you're noticing that the other instruments are not as precise, then fine, that is exactly what you should find out, and this is what everybody finds out sooner or later. We don't make or expect any clear lines between pitches, because pitches are a range, and the better we can listen into these tones on all other instruments, the more our spectral discrimination will start to grow. See, being able to sense that the pitches are sharp and flat, this is spectral discrimination already. So as you're developing this universal color discrimination and you notice that, hey, these pitches are not all the standard pitches I'm listening to, this is already spectral discrimination sort of peeping out at you even before you've developed your universal color discrimination. And this is exactly the way it should be. Remember, all these different levels of perfect pitch, they're not isolated things, that first you have to have universal color discrimination, and then and only then can you go to spectral discrimination. No, that's not the way it works. They all grow up together. They're all being cultured from the very first time that you sit down and listen to these very delicate pitch colors. So it's not surprising if you have little flashes of these higher levels even before you have gotten to them step by step. It's just exactly right.
What can I do to culture oral recall by myself?
All right, now this advanced stage of perfect pitch where you can just sing any tone at will, what you can do by yourself, you don't even need a partner for this. If you have color discrimination, and you can even do this if you don't have color discrimination, because remember, these levels all grow up simultaneously. But it works best when you've already developed your color discrimination. Just write out the notes, A, B flat, B, C, C sharp, D, all of the 12 tones on a card and put them in a hat or put them in a box and just pick out one. Or just reach out to your piano and point to one. You're not looking and just point to this G here. And then sing that G before you play it. Then play it and see if you were right. And if you're not, see where you were wrong. If you sang a wrong note, if you sang an A flat, then listen to the color of the A flat and then listen to the color of the G. But you have to go further than this. Then you have to mentally think of the color of the A flat and mentally think of the color of the G. It's easier to hear the pitch colors live. Hear that the A flat is kind of a soft quality and the G is a little different. But then when you think of it mentally and you kind of hear it inwardly inside your own mind, the difference between those colors, then this is where the aural recall develops. We have to have heard the colors live quite nicely before then we can start to remember them, because memory is always a little bit more vague than the actual experience itself, of course. Now, one thing we don't do is we don't strain our minds by trying to imagine these colors and clearly hearing the difference in the mind. No, no, this is going to give a headache. What we do is we just gently allow ourselves to think of these colors just very easily. The aural recall will grow naturally. The more times you try to remember a pitch, the more the mind will start to click into gear with producing that pitch for you. If you always know an A every time you hear it, it's not much of a step to be able to think up that A by yourself. So you just keep trying to think it up, and when you get it wrong, you correct that error. But remember, we always do it easily. We never strain doing this. Very, very important point.
Color Hearing Technique Session.
Now, what do we do at this point? You've got color discrimination. You can identify all the tones on your instrument. What is left to do? Well, we can polish our ear at this point. There's many things we can do, and again, you are going to guide yourselves now. You see the theory with your minds, and you have heard with your own ears the colors. You see what I mean now when I said the colors are a feeling. You feel when you hear a tone what it is. Now, how do you polish this? Well, do whatever you want. Add octaves. You can expand your range to the very top part of the keyboard and get way down here to these low tones. You can actually sit there and learn that low A. It depends if you want to do that. Maybe if you're a guitarist, you don't want to expand your range all the way down there. It doesn't make any difference. It's all up to you. You can do 4-note chords, 5-note chords. Check out the ear teasers for super ears that are in your handbook. These are really fun drills. My buddy Richard, my piano buddy I had told you about earlier, we used to spend hours doing this kind of stuff. It was so fun when we were in high school. We'd do things like maybe take an entire C major scale, except we're leaving one tone out. Don't try to hear this on this CD or this tape that you're listening to, because this is very hard to hear this. You have to kind of be live with this. But I've got C, D, E, F, and I've skipped G, and then I've got A, B, and C. So what you have to do is you have to listen very carefully and find the root of all those tones, which is the C, and then climb up in your mind's ear until you don't hear one of the tones. The G is missing, and that is your challenge there, to find the missing tone. You can do this with whole tone scales as well. I've got a whole tone scale, except I've left out the A sharp. You just have to work with these. You may think they're impossible. They're not impossible. As a matter of fact, as you work with these seemingly impossible stunts, you'll find that your ear opens more and more, and you can hear even ridiculous things like this. This is one of the things that Richard and I used to like to do. You take chromatic tones in one big cluster, but I'm leaving out one of the tones. Now, the way I would always get this when we would do this together, I would first listen for the bottom tone. And don't think you're going to do this quickly. You have to sit there and listen a little bit to get this. And you hear that the bottom tone is C. And then you find the top tone, A. Then you have to climb chromatically, C sharp, D, E flat, E. And then you don't hear the F, so that's the one that's missing, because we do have F sharp, G, A flat, and A. This is a real challenge because all the tones are so dissonant, they're clashing with each other, that it's sometimes difficult to get in there and find, well, which tone is not there. But these are really fun drills to do to sharpen your ear and enliven it even more. There's no end to ear training. Can you see this? The ear's ability to perceive goes on and on and on. How can there be an end to it? It all depends on how far you want to go. It's good to do some ear training every day, just a little bit here and there, to keep your ear lively and keep it growing. Once you've gained a certain level of perfect pitch and a certain level of relative pitch, then just a few little drills here and there improve you more and keep you lively. It's not that we always have to forever do such intense drills all the time. Mozart was Mozart. He could not only know all the pitches, but he could listen to an entire concert and go back to his home and write it all down. That's a photographic memory. That's something much more than perfect pitch. So it's not that by developing perfect pitch, we've gained a Mozart ear. We mustn't have any delusions here. Our ear is able to identify any tone we hear, but if the tones are going very quickly, how are we going to identify those notes? They move much too quickly. We don't expect our ear to be able to do that. That's something beyond perfect pitch. It's just that if we want to know what those tones are, E, A, D, G sharp, C sharp, F sharp, we can hear them when we slow them down. Don't think it's a lack in your perfect pitch if you don't know them quickly. You know all your visual colors, red, blue, green, orange, violet. But if I start pointing to colors so fast, here, how can you possibly name them that fast? It's not that you're colorblind. You can certainly name any color you see, but when they go quickly, then you're speechless. It's the same way with music. We don't expect that our perfect pitch is going to become a Mozart ear, that every little tone we hear everywhere, we're going to know. That is not what perfect pitch is. That's something much more than perfect pitch. That's a musical talent like a Mozart. But you now have the ability of perfect pitch. You can identify the tones. You can enjoy the color patterns. You know when something is in A major and how it changes to a different quality when we boost the pitch to B flat major. You can feel that now. Other people are not as sensitive. A flat and A and B flat, what is the difference in those keys? They don't feel those things, but you have a richness of perception now. We don't have to know the name of tones to enjoy them either. It's like when you have the beautiful fall colors, you can go out and enjoy all the rich variations of the oranges and the reds and the yellows in the fall season. We don't have to name them. You don't have to sit there and go, oh, there's a red one. You just simply enjoy the colors. Now, if you want to name them, you can look at any one leaf and say, yes, that's a leaf with some red and some orange in it. But it's not necessary to label the tones in order to enjoy the color sense. So at this point, I'm encouraging you, enjoy your ear. Relax with it. Don't think you have to keep going and going and going and you won't be satisfied until you can be a Mozart. Well, if you have that drive, then more power to you. You can still continue and do that if that's what you want to do. But it's not necessary. Be happy with what you can hear, and with what you can't hear, you can always improve yourself more if you want. For example, we can develop our refined color discrimination. You can listen very carefully to see if a tone is sharp or flat. Guitarists, you can go to an A string and tune it. Find where the A is And once you settle on your A, check it with a tuning fork or a tuner to see if you have hit the A pretty closely. This will encourage your refined color discrimination, the ability to judge if the tone is sharp or flat. And if you don't play guitar, then go to the guitar and do the very same drill, because this will give you a new timbre to work with. It'll help you to develop universal color discrimination. And for those of you who are keyboardists, you can go and sing tones and listen to yourself singing the tone and see if it's sharp or flat. There's so many things you can do to test yourself to gain refined color discrimination or spectral discrimination. If the instrument is not your instrument, if guitar is not your instrument, then you're developing your spectral discrimination, the ability to hear on an instrument which is not your own familiar instrument. So we can work on other instruments too. Synth people, you can change your sound of your synthesizer to a whole different feeling and rework your tones. You can pluck your piano strings. It gives a whole different timbre to work with in order to encourage your universal color discrimination. Don't be disappointed or frustrated if you can't hear the tones in the other instruments. This is natural, because you now have to work on your universal color discrimination. The secret to universal color discrimination is the same as it has been all along. Just keep listening, and your ear will begin to hear just as it is already heard on your own practice instrument in all these sessions. You hear this bird out here, this jungle bird? It's so happy that you've all come to this point in your perfect pitch ear training. Now, the final step is aural recall. That's our highest level of perfect pitch. This is what I want you to work on. Right now, you may know a tone when you hear it, but it's really funny. You can't remember it by yourself. Why is that? Memory is a much finer aspect of the mind than perception. Perception is right on the surface, the most obvious concrete level of awareness. You perceive A. That's one thing, but to think of the A in your memory, that involves a more delicate aspect of our minds, because the A in our minds is only a mere impression of our previous perception. So we want to develop our aural recall. You know what the key to this is the ear training meditation techniques that we've been using. Now you'll begin to appreciate them more and more. The ear training meditation, when you're imagining the tones, this is your key to aural recall. So work with that. And look at your other ear teasers in your handbook. Notice the one about slowly reading a musical score in your mind. That's just like an ear training meditation technique. You go very slowly and you can feel each pitch in your mind. Just keep practicing and the aural recall will naturally come to you. Just as the pitch color used to be abstract to your perception, now it's abstract to our memory, but in time you'll remember more clearly and then any pitch will come to you just by feeling inside. Feel inside. What does an A feel like? And the tone comes to you. Whatever pitch is there, it will be the right tone. When you feel the tone inwardly and you're feeling it very clearly inwardly, whatever that pitch is will be the correct tone. You'll see how this works. Then you can recall any pitch at will. All the tones are at your command. And that, my friends, is everything I can tell you about this virtuoso ear we call perfect pitch. In fact, I now say that you yourselves have gained this ability of perfect pitch. Congratulations to you. I'm very proud indeed of your accomplishment. And I'd like to give you one last assignment. Work on your ear in various ways that we've discussed and that you've picked up all throughout your training. And focus now on your aural recall. Learn to sing a tone from memory. And work on your universal color discrimination. Learn to hear tones on other instruments. This is a process that takes its own time. For your aural recall, from time to time throughout a day, whenever you feel like it, you can sing a tone and then check yourself. Just do one tone. Sing a tone, check yourself, and when you've done this 20 times correctly, that'll be your verification round. 20 times during the day, you can do this over a period of many days, just sing one tone, and if you get it right, that is one example correctly. And when you get 20 in a row correctly, that will be your final verification round. Then I'm going to consider that you have graduated with honors from this perfect pitch ear training super course. Hear the bird? He's so happy just thinking about this, that you're graduating right now. You'll be able to even hear the tones that the bird is singing. He's not really singing discrete tones. They shift in between many different tones. You'll be able to listen for all that. And when you've graduated, when you're able to do your aural recall 20 times correctly, I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know about your success, because each and every person who's taken all this time to go through this program is very special to me. I'd like to know about you, and I'll keep your name in my private file. So when you complete this final verification round with your aural recall, let me hear from you. Send me an email. Send me a small note in the mail. So that's your very last assignment. Work on your aural recall and let me hear from you. And remember, ear training, like music, never ends. How can there be an end to something infinite? There's always, always something more to hear, some other skill to gain. So remember this always. Be happy with what we can hear, and whatever we can't hear, we know we can always just keep listening and our ears will open more and more. Good luck with all your music. And whatever you do, don't be too serious. There's a reason why we say play your instrument. It means you should always have fun and enjoy.